Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, we visit with Laura Lee Roby, attorney in Logan County, Kentucky. And as always, we'll wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show. Well, hello, everybody.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
Hello.
How is everybody doing today?
Fantastic. If I got any better, my name would be Vicky.
Well, then you're doing pretty good then, aren't you?
I'm telling you. What do you say, Jay?
I don't have anything to say. That's I'm done.
I sense a bit of sarcasm there, don't y'all?
A wee bit. Mm-hmm. We have been tied up in in-service trainings all day today and almost literally tied up to keep some people there. I saw some zip ties and things like that and some duct tape. I thought they were going to have to break it out to keep some of us engaged at some point. But
sounds like somebody needed legal counsel.
I could use some at times, I'll have to admit.
That's right. That is exactly right.
There's been a time or two I could have used some.
Exactly right.
And lately too.
Oh me, we've spent a good day here in Warren County and at the extension office in Bowling Green. We've got another day scheduled tomorrow where we'll be tied up doing training
again.
Yeah. And
good times.
We'll see if you feel as good as Vicky does after 2 days of this. Mm-hmm.
We do want to say thank you to the Warren County Extension Office for allowing us a place here to be able to record some podcasts while we're here, catching some of the specialists that are on today or that was on today, and then also Laura Lee, and being able to get closer to her and where she lives. It was a good place for us to meet. We've been trying to work on
been trying to wrangle this thing down.
We
for
have,
a while. Yeah.
And yes, yeah. And so we've had to change it at least one time, and so we appreciate them finding us a location because it's a busy building. This place is busy.
Yeah. I was going to say we've been joking about the trainings that we were doing today, but I'm thankful that they are flexible enough to allow us to step outside and take care of our jobs for a little while too while we're doing this. So
yeah, That's right. Was way more interesting than what they were talking about too.
There was some good points. There was some good points.
Yeah.
There was a good point. I'll say that. No, all in all, it's pretty good training when you compare them. So, got a guest with us today, Miss Laura Lee Roby. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Appreciate the opportunity to sit down with you all.
Glad to have you with us today. I understand there's a connection, a Webster County connection here between you and Vicky. So. We might have had the inside track to get you on the show.
you did indeed. You didn't need one, but you've got it.
Well,
Vicky and I go way back.
Yes, we do.
It's good to have. We've been told by guests in the past, David and I were told that Vicky is the best ag agent in the state of Kentucky, so.
She's pretty darn good. I can vouch for that. She's pretty darn good.
I was just glad she didn't say the best.
I don't know about
pretty darn good. I was good with the best. I'll take that.
I'll take pretty darn good. That's right.
Yeah.
I might have one from Logan County come get me if I say that.
That's true. Yeah, you could have.
Hey,
you're right.
Hey, Leanne is a good one.
Yes, she is.
A good one. She's good people.
Well, and too, the ag agent in Warren County, her daughter was a co-op student last year, her senior year at high school, with Laura Lee at her law office.
That's right. Jenna's just a phenomenal young lady, and I enjoyed having her in the office so very much. Anytime I get a chance to have a high school student who's interested in the law come spend time in my office to figure out that's what they really want to do or not, it's a good thing. So.
I think she's about got it figured out. Sounds like it.
It sounds like
from listening to her mama, yeah.
She's well on her way.
That's right.
Yes.
She is a very motivated,
driven young lady.
Involved.
Yes.
Yeah. And sharp as a tack.
She is.
Sharp as a tack.
All the buzzwords. And if you want to think of any that apply to Jenna, that's certainly them. All
and she's a good kid.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, that's the great thing about her. Yeah. She is a good kid.
She works hard because she wants to. She takes pride in what she does. She has goals that she wants to reach. And, you know, to see that kind of, I guess, ethic in a way, I guess work ethic, or I don't know the exact word, but in someone so young, because she's been that way for a long time.
Sure, to have those type of interests.
Yes, to have that. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal.
And that's a trait you see so often in kids with an ag background. They're ready to hit the ground running and work hard, and she sure is.
Absolutely. You know, we've all got kids. We're all proud of our kids, and that's kind of what leads us to our topic today. When we're talking about estate planning, we're talking about how to identify the assets that we have and prepare those assets so that they can transition to our next generation. So we have a lot of things to discuss and a lot of things to cover, but when we think of that topic, when we think of the term estate planning, it's pretty broad.
Yes, it is.
If there's any one place where people should start maybe that planning process, how do you see that is going?
Well, when folks come into my office and they ask about estate planning and want to go down that route, whether they're in my opening line for clients or potential clients, whether they're farming families or non-farming families, is you need to have an understanding of the nature of your assets, how those assets are titled, and how you want those assets to pass at your death. And how assets are titled is sometimes confusing for folks and maybe gets backburnered, but in my mind, that's really your starting point. That's so important because you're doing estate planning with an eye on probate, right? The process for transferring your assets after your death. And if I'm on the back end of things, preparing a probate petition, I'm needing to know which assets to list on that petition and how those assets are titled is fundamental. So that's my starting point with folks, whether they're farming and involved in agriculture or whether they're not. And I always say estate planning is important for everyone, but with farming families, you need just a little bit more. Because you're oftentimes going into those farm succession considerations as well, and you know, there's the legal side of that, and then there's the personal side of that, you know, kind of those family dynamics, and every single farm succession plan is different.
That's one of the things I was going to ask. You've referenced a couple of times there how things are titled. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you're talking about the ownership of those particular items. Mm-hmm. But I wonder also if you're talking about the difference between personal property versus real property and things of that nature.
Yes. Yes. All assets, really. And, for example, real property. If a husband and wife own their real estate joint with right of survivorship, then that passes automatically at the time of death to the living spouse. And so then that never even gets listed on a probate petition. You know, vehicles. You have that vehicle titled husband or wife. Well, that also passes automatically at the time of death. And so those are just some basic premises for estate planning that everyone can consider. Now, with, you know, obviously it can get more complicated with farming families, especially if there is a legal entity or some type of structure that is holding the assets.
I know we kind of just went through this with my dad. My dad passed away about a year ago. And when we started this process, we were trying to find the deeds to property. Well, I don't know if everybody's family does this or just my family, but we had more deeds than what we had property, because as they had sold part of the farm, if they had sold some to, you know, a neighbor or whatever, well, we would find the deed that happened, but then there would be a deed with that still in there. And it was very confusing. And so I, as a person that just went through this, I highly recommend that you sit down. If you own properties, make sure that those are clearly understood. Mm-hmm. And in the case that something happens to you unexpectedly, and, you know, that, I mean, that's, you know, we don't like to think about that, but if it does, it's easy to understand. And I know that now in my safe, you know, I have legal documents in a safe and the kids know that they're in there, and I try to have as much information in there as I can, because it is difficult to try to figure that out when you can't ask questions anymore.
And I find that time and time again with farming families and real estate, sometimes it's hard to have an understanding of of that property. And you know, non-farming clients who don't have as many assets that they're keeping track of might say, well, you know, how can you not know what you own? But it you know, just passing from one generation to the next, it can get very tricky because, you know, for example, the family farm I was raised on and the family farm that I'm now raising my kids on, you know, we'll refer to farms like the Brown Farm. Well, you know, many years ago, the Browns owned that farm, and so that's why we refer to it as the Brown Farm. But, you know, what I recommend in that situation, Vicki, is that, you know, you sit down with an attorney that is well-versed in real estate, and they can help you identify those deeds, those properties, and help get you organized in that regard. And then can also advise if, you know, if there needs to be survey work or if boundaries are unclear, things of that nature.
I know it's a lot of, I have two siblings that are not on the farm. And, you know, I think it makes it very difficult. My father, who is 83, you know, I think it makes it very difficult. And I have tried to explain to him, I sure would like all this settled before, you know, so we all know what's going to happen in, you know, in that time. And boy, it's hard to, people just don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to talk about it. Do you have any, you know, some advice for people that are kind of in that situation, that, you know, to try to get some of that conversation started?
Well, it's absolutely vital that they take the time to do that. And sometimes an attorney or, you know, some neutral person can help prod that conversation along and grease the wheels, so to speak. You know, family dynamics really, really vary. And that's why estate planning and farm succession conversations are so varied. There's not a one size fits all ever. I'm not sure I've ever handled one that was exactly the same. And I've done it different ways. I've done it where I've piecemealed the conversations. Maybe I'll have a conversation with, for example, your dad, and then dad and you. And then as a third phase, we bring other, you know, non-farming siblings into that conversation. But it really depends on the personalities that are at the table. And I'm going to tell you, even farm succession conversations are difficult even when everyone gets along. You know, and one of the most difficult components that I see maybe your dad's generation having is, okay, I've got two kiddos or three kiddos, and some are farming, but some are not. And how do I honor that heritage and continue the legacy of the family farm without making it appear that I'm not treating all my children fairly? And that's a task that is, I think, very daunting to folks, but it is doable. It really is.
It is. And I think, too, that one thing that I heard something in estate planning just several years ago, just in conversations, and I was talking to a family that was kind of going through that. And one of the things that we talked about was that fair does not always mean equal. And so it makes it difficult sometimes when you've got somebody that understands that, but then you have somebody else that it's like dime for dime, nickel for nickel, acre for acre, you know, and that does make I think that makes those conversations a little bit more difficult. And I think too, if everybody's not on a farm, when we're talking about farm families, if not everybody involved is agriculturally minded, even if you're not. I'm not actively farming. My brother actively farms. And so when we all sat around the table with Mom and Dad, me and Danny back many years ago and talked about this, even my mindset at that time was, well, this is Danny's livelihood. So there were some decisions that was made with that in mind. And we were very fortunate, you know, to that. But it's not always the case,
yeah.
You know, and that.
Well, when you throw spouses in,
sure.
And then you throw
children
and
yeah.
Then maybe you throw a second spouse in that, you
right.
Know, the first one's gone, the second one. I mean, it's a very, very tight rope to try to travel.
I had a friend that yes. Went through that situation years ago. He was the farmer with his dad. He had two other siblings that had lived off way out of town, you know, still close family-wise, but not actively involved in the farm. And his mother and father made it a point to sit down while they were still in the picture and bring all three kids together and make these decisions. And as it worked out tragically, one of those three siblings ended up dying young, and what was left was a widow and two children. And my friend, after it was all over, he said, you know, I'm so glad that my parents sat down and had these discussions and got this worked out. He said, because the three of us, while my parents were here, all got along, we all agreed. He said, I don't know that we could have agreed on anything with them gone and out of the picture.
Yep.
So.
Which goes back to what you just said, though, that's why it's so vital that families sit down and have that conversation.
Yep.
Because that may help it not be so difficult later.
And often with farming families, it's necessary to take things a step further in your property division. For example, it's not out of character for a non-farming family for me to draft a pretty basic will that if one spouse dies, all to the other, and vice versa. We call that a basic reciprocal provision. And then in the event that both spouses pass, everything equal to three children. But when you start talking about the variety and quantity of assets that farming families have, I think it really helps to get into the weeds a little more in how you draft those wills and those estate plans, and having those conversations about what those wishes are on the front end, man, that can just nip that element of surprise on the back end and go a long way in making for a smooth probate process.
I was going to say, as I heard it put one time, a friend of mine said, if we don't sit down and decide this, a judge someday will. And we want it like we want it, so let's go on and figure that out now.
Right, and you're absolutely right, because farm succession is going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just is. And so if you can get ahead of it and make a plan for it, and you'll be so much better off, and you're really just doing a tremendous service to your family.
Do you ever see where it's, you know, there are some things that you really, really dread. You think, oh, gosh, I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to have to do this. But then when you actually get everybody together and everybody's talking, that it seems to be a little bit smoother than what maybe some people may think it would be, especially if you have somebody that's kind of guiding that conversation. Because I think, you know, estate planning is just so much. I mean, there's the emotion into it. There's history. There's so much into that.
There's dollars.
And it's money.
That's the problem.
Yeah, there's money, equipment, ground. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into that. Yeah. And, having a neutral person that understands the whole process, knows what questions to ask, knows how to explain it, knows how to frame it, I think could be very beneficial.
I think it can be intimidating
for people
to get started, because they, you know, estate planning maybe is a pretty foreign thing for them. They don't know a lot about it. And, you know, you're not estate planning in a bubble, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're running an operation. at the same time, you know, for farming families. And so I think if you can just take that first step and, you know, reach out to an attorney. And most estate planning attorneys, I know I have them, can provide you with some sort of a document to help organize the conversation before you even arrive. I have it's called an estate planning questionnaire, and it walks the prospective client through the, you know, what are the assets? Who are the heirs? How are those assets titled? Are there entity structures we're dealing with? What's the real estate situation look like? What's the, you know, things of that nature. And then if I have that on the front end, when I sit down with you, I'm much better equipped to answer those questions and navigate those, you know, if there are tricky moments in that conversation or conflicting personalities, I can help navigate that a little bit better.
Yeah. I think having those conversations ahead of time, though, is so important before something actually happens. And you know, and letting those folks that are going to be in that group know what's going to happen. And so you get a lot of that, the surprise element taken out. I think that's what takes people aback a lot of times, is the surprise of what, well, I said, I can't believe they did that. You know, and if you know ahead of time, maybe some of that can be worked out. And having that neutral party in there, I think, takes a lot of the stress off of whether it's the parent or the children or the grandchildren or whatever. I think that is so important to have that.
And, you know, I think attorneys, we get a lot of the glory for formulating estate plans, but there's a whole team of people that you need to have on board for estate planning, your accountant, your banker, if there's a financial advisor involved. All those folks are important to the estate planning team, as I refer to it as well.
You were talking about that if there's different entities involved. Elaborate just a little bit more on what you mean by that.
Sure. You know, some farmers are sole proprietors, and they own their real estate outright with their spouse, or maybe with other family members. Sometimes they're partnerships that are, you know, maybe formal, or I've seen informal ones as well, and those have varying arrangements. But then some farming families choose to create a legal entity or multiple legal entities that they run their farming operation through. That might be an LLC or something of that nature. And that's a way of organizing, you know, it's just like any business. And there are different types of those. But it's important to know, and a lot of those will be on record at the Kentucky Secretary of State's office. So in preparing for, you know, we were talking about preparing for those client meetings, if I know there's a legal entity involved, well, I can do my homework through the Secretary of State's website and see, okay, what do I need to know from a legal perspective about how your entity was created and how it operates, and things of that nature to help better advise you in that regard.
Well, there's a lot of moving parts, that's for sure. And that's all the more reason to, I mean, I know we keep driving this point home, but that's all the more reason to really sit down around the table and start a discussion. And I mean, and even if it's difficult, I mean, sometimes it's just like, but sometimes maybe if you just, somebody just starts the conversation, then something, it kind of takes off, you know. But, and I know that David kind of asked this a little bit too, but do you have any advice for somebody, let's just say somebody has tried to have that conversation and it's just not happening? You know, is there any advice you would have for making it where it's something that doesn't sound so daunting, or be more open to thinking about it? Maybe the giving a positive spin on why this is so beneficial.
Right. And I think the positive spin is, look at the legacy that you have the opportunity to leave for your children, for your grandchildren, for your farming heritage, you have that opportunity to make a plan that's beneficial for your operation and for your family. But if you squander that opportunity, then the chips may fall where they may. And we've talked a lot about how important it is to get started, but I think I would be remiss if I didn't say it's also really important to finish it, mm-hmm. because we've talked about, and you said, Vic, there's so many moving parts here, mm-hmm. and they are. And you can't expect to sit down in an attorney's office or with any other members of the estate planning team that I described and have a one-and-done situation. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it time and time again where, you know, I sit down and it's, you know, it's January. Everybody's got, you know, their to-do list. Maybe that's estate planning. It's maybe their New Year's resolution. And it's winter and everything's slow. And then if it, you know, when that's the situation, I try very hard because I know come into March, I'm going to lose that farmer. And he's going to go to the field. And then he's going to circle back with me next January and say, well, Laura Lee, where are we on this? But so I cannot stress enough, starting it is phenomenal. But go through the motions and take the time, even if it's months, to get it finished and come up with a plan that you're comfortable with.
And what about when you do have it finished? Let's just say that you are a proactive family and you do this really early. Do you need to go back and review that from time to time?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. That's always prudent. And, you know, any person that comes into my office, I'm going to be really honest. I'm not going to, you know, if you give me your will and say, you know, does this need to be updated? I'm not going to mess with it if it doesn't. But sure, there are changes. People pass away. We have, you know, children that come of age and come and be a part of the farming operation. There are all, you know, different types of life circumstances that cause us to need to take another look at estate planning.
I'm thinking of my own situation right now. When my wife and I drew up wills and went through all the work of making sure everything was going to be carried out the way we wanted to, our son was 11 years old. He turns 21 here in December. It's time to go revisit a lot of that because he's of legal age now, could be an owner on real property where he couldn't when we first set all that up.
Absolutely. That's a great point. You're definitely at that time.
So.
Yeah, I can tell on myself on that one, too, because after Jamie and I married and we had our first child, you know, that's what we got to have a will, you know, and because a lot of times that's when you think about a will is once you have children, you know. And so we did that. Well, then we had another child, but we never did go back and update that will until, you know, we have now. But, you know, it's creeps up on you, though. And before you know it, there's been a lot of changes that need to be reflected in a will,
right?
You know, and so it's always good to go back and look at that.
You know, maybe for those folks who have not had to take part in this experience yet, talk a little bit about what a will is and what a will means after somebody's gone.
Sure. So a will allows a person to make specific designations about where they want their property to pass at their death. And, you know, we go back, going back again to how those assets are titled. Some assets are titled in a fashion so that they do not pass under the terms of your will. They pass outside of the scope of that will. I think earlier I mentioned joint with right of survivorship. That is, you know, kind of a buzz phrase mm-hmm. in the probate world. So that's why it's always my starting point with clients. Identify your assets and how those are titled, because if they're, you know, I've seen couples, you know, I've seen people come in for probate and they have done some great estate planning on an accident outside of an attorney's office. Maybe they didn't have a will, but the bulk of their assets were in survivorship or had named beneficiaries or POD provisions, and so they passed automatically at the time of death.
There's a whole lot of legal things that all of us need
jargon.
To I mean, and it is, I mean, you know, but it, there
sometimes
is,
we just make up words.
I don't doubt it.
And we're not going to question you.
I won't know.
but that's a great point, though, Jay. We're talking about estate planning, but it's important for folks that are, I mean, maybe just married or mm-hmm. you know, or not even married, but you've just bought your first, you know, a house and it's got some acreage with it. And I mean, there's so many things to think about from a legal standpoint that, you know, it's important that we really do stay in contact with, you know, someone like you that can help guide you through on what you need and the steps you need to take.
Yeah. Laura Lee, tell us the steps that we need to take or someone needs to take to find a good attorney. There's no Laura Lee Roby on every street corner. So tell us, you know, when we're trying to pick an attorney to maybe help settle an estate, make a will, do all of these things and represent us in those type of things, what are some good qualities that we can go, you know, that we can look for in an attorney?
You know, one starting point, especially for farming families, may be your county extension agent. You know, they may be a good resource to put you in touch with an attorney that has a familiarity with real estate and estate planning and probate work and, you know, has an idea about agriculture and what it's like to be a farming family. I think that is... You know, it's not necessary for estate planning purposes, but it sure does help to go to an attorney that has some type of understanding of farming families and what they go through, especially when you're looking at farm succession.
Oh, definitely. I think that would be a big help, you know, just to understand the lingo that farmers have and that kind of stuff, and having that agriculture background that you have, I think is so important to be able to help people be able to have these succession plans and understand how some of that works. So
and even knowing the questions to ask, you know, from a farm standpoint. I know the attorneys are going to know the questions asked. That's not the way I meant that. But having that farm background,
that general discussion.
That's what I meant, you know, ahead of time. And just any time that you can talk to somebody too that understands, you know, that, you know,
a sympathetic ear.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's right. Or the same mindset sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It makes that conversation easier, where you're not necessarily having to explain as much.
Yeah. And Laura Lee gets the gold star for the day because she mentioned contacting your county extension service for being able to do that. And, you know, we'll certainly help you, if you are at a loss for trying to find somebody. We have lots of contacts that we can talk to and hopefully get you hooked up with the right person, because this is such an important deal. We've got to get it right. You know, and we need to go back and check, like Jay was talking about, and make sure it continues to be right, because things change. You know, people pass away and people come and go and that kind of stuff. So we've got to do the things we need to do to make sure everything's like it needs to be.
You know, as Laura Lee mentioned, contacting your extension agent might put you in the realm of, well, we're having these classes. You know, I spoke earlier before we started recording about how my FCS agent and I are going to be doing some estate planning workshops February of next year. Mm-hmm. Getting in with that agent and finding out what might be offered might be your foot in the door to start this process of, you can sit in the back of the room, you don't have to ask questions, but maybe you benefit from the questions that other people ask, and you can sit and just at least get introduced to the process.
Yeah, and nobody wants to. The thing about these estate planning programs and getting people to come to them is so hard, because they feel like they've got to share personal information. We don't want that. We don't want you to do that. That's not the purpose of that program. That program is there to open your eyes to the things that you need to be doing and some of those kind of things. So, you know, it's not about sharing personal information. Mm-hmm. We'd never do that. Extension would never do that. So, you know, if you come upon a estate planning program like Jay and them are going to have, be sure to get involved with that, because that is, you know, and I've told people all the time, you know, having an estate planning program is so hard to get people to attend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could tell them it was about something else and they show up and maybe do a little bit of estate planning talking about it. But if that's the main heading on your program, you'll hardly get anybody to show up.
I tell you what, though, I'm so glad to hear that you all are doing those programs. I was involved in one, maybe right after COVID, with Leanne Martin, the mm-hmm. Logan County Extension agent, and we did that. And then afterwards, you know, I didn't really hear much. She didn't hear much. But, you know, even now, months and years after the fact, I'll, you know, get a new call. I want to do some estate planning. I heard you talk mm-hmm. at, you know, this thing with Extension a long time ago. So I think you're planting those seeds. And that helps. And so maybe the seeds through those workshops that you've planted are encouraging one conversation with with mom or dad or siblings or what have you. And like I said, these things don't happen overnight. And so if it just starts the conversation, then that's a good thing.
Yep.
No, I think that's exactly right. And oftentimes it's at times like that, like at these workshops or just in a roundtable discussion with other farmers or, you know, around the breakfast table or whatever, where the farmers hang out sometimes that's where the seeds are planted. And, you know, we don't like to think about this either, but sometimes we hear of things not going very well after somebody passes. And the difficulties that families may go through that starts them to thinking, gosh, I've got to do something because I don't want this to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, that is, I know that's not a positive thing to say, but it's true. It is what it is. And I think that sometimes that's what we have to think about. Like what you said, it's going to happen one way or the other. I mean, you know, this, and if you can have a part in saying this is kind of how I want things to go and to be able to hand down what they've worked their whole life for, to be able to pass that on to that next generation. The only real way to do that is to have that conversation and start the process and finish the process.
You know, even if you're not looking at a big, long, drawn-out process.
Right.
I'm thinking about when my own mother passed away. My father had passed away years before. There was no land asset. Most of those things had been settled through the years. My mother had sold off a lot of things. Hers was a fairly simple estate. But we had it all set up far in advance. I mean, all the way to her funeral arrangements. We had all of that done. And at the time that she passed, I look back now at how fortunate we were to have done all that ahead of time. Because when you're in that most critical time, I did not have to make a single decision. Mm-hmm. Everything was done. For that first couple of weeks, there was nothing to have to take care of because we had taken care of it all ahead of time. I went to my mother's remaining siblings, and I said, do your kids a favor. Sit down and take care of this now while you all can talk about it, while you can all plan about it. And they had varying forms of assets. Some of them were retired. Some of them owned farmland. Some of them owned businesses or other assets. I said, take care of all this now. Do it while you can sit down and have a conversation about it.
Absolutely. And have the ability to prevent a disagreement. One facet of my practice is contested probate work. And I can tell you with 100% certainty, no one wants to be in that position. Mm-mm. Not ever.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you know, and as we kind of winding this down and, you know, and we're talking about some of those programs like Jay's talking about, you know, I've heard of a gentleman that went to a class like Jay's talking about, and he had in his mind that he wanted to do a certain thing. You know, I think it was a trust. And then he went to that program and figured out, that's not what I really want to do. You know, can you maybe elaborate on that a little bit?
Absolutely, absolutely. I have clients all the time come in and they'll say, I want to create this LLC or I need a trust. And I'd really try to get clients away from that type of conversation. What I want clients to do is identify your estate planning goals. What are your goals? And then let the lawyer figure out the appropriate vehicle or tool mm-hmm. to effectuate those estate planning goals.
It's a different ball game. I mean, there's lots of things that you can and cannot do with trust that you may not be able to do with a different form of a will or however you want to look at it.
Right. And there are so many varying types of trusts and varying types of terms that can be contained within a trust. It is a diverse creature. And so, I mean, it happens very regularly that someone will sit in my office and say, now, Lorelei, I need a trust. And I'll say, well, okay, tell me why you think you need a trust. And let's step back just a little bit. And sometimes the answer is, yes, we need to prepare a trust. That would be an appropriate way to effectuate your goal, but not always.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you see more people or maybe less people looking at LLCs as a vehicle for total ownership, maybe by those multi-generations, so that it's easier to transfer at the time of a death?
It's a mixed bag, honestly. It goes back really to those family dynamics and that's a hard question to answer because there's just no one sure. size fits mm-hmm. all. Yeah. I mean, I can't stress that enough. I've never had a farm succession, you know, family that I've worked with that's been the same as the last one. Yeah. And so entity structures, there is an appropriate place for them in estate planning and farm succession, no doubt. But they're not a one size fit
That'd
all be too legal easy. Tool.
Sure. That'd be too easy.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
We think about estate planning when I think about estate planning, you know, oftentimes I'm thinking that's for somebody that's older that needs to be, you know, thinking about estate planning because, you know, they are getting older or this and that. But that's not true, is it? No, I mean, when do you need to start thinking about an estate plan? Let me just rephrase that for you.
You saw my eyes get real big.
I did. I saw that.
When you said that. So a lot of times estate planning happens either as a young person when you start to acquire assets, no matter how big or small, or as we were hitting on a little bit earlier, when you have a change in life circumstance, for example, when you get married or when you have children or when your children come of age, those types of life circumstances and changes are times when you want to talk about estate planning. And you know, there are also, we hadn't really hit on this, but there are times when there are changes in the law that necessitate changes in estate planning. So it's just always prudent practice to be mindful of it. Let it be an ongoing conversation that you revisit every now and again with your attorney, mm-hmm. as opposed to, I check that box and we'll put it in the safe and then we'll just be done with mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, having that really good relationship with your attorney is so important, you know, because they can let you know, say, hey, we had a change in this law. We need to, you know, we need to redo this, revisit it, or whatever, you know, we need to figure it out.
It's important for farming families for a lot of reasons, even beyond estate planning. I do a pretty good amount of real estate work, and when farming families have the same attorney helping them through their real estate transactions repeatedly, that becomes incredibly beneficial so that errors don't happen.
Yep.
Sure. Mm-hmm. The more you know about that operation, the more you're able to help them.
Exactly.
So
there's a lot of moving parts.
There
is. I'm going to go back to that. There's a lot of moving parts.
Yep.
And we say this a lot on this podcast, is it's about the relationships that you build with the people that you're either serving or the people that you're working with, the people that you're trying to help, our clients. And in this particular topic, that is absolutely no different. Because I think when you have a good relationship with the attorney that you're working with, you've got to have the trust in that attorney that you're working with. And that attorney also has to, you know, there's some respect that goes both ways there.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, that just goes back to it's just about everything we do, you know, is about building relationships and making that happen. So, you know, if you're out there to our listeners and this is something that you haven't thought about doing, you know, certainly think about it because it is important.
You know, along those lines, I think it's probably a good time to address our timely tip for the day when we're talking about making relationships. With all this conversations about estate planning, our timely tip for the day is simply that. Make an appointment with an attorney to get that relationship started. You may know all of your assets. You may know how everything is titled or everything about your business. But if you don't, that attorney can help you figure those things out and help you get into the in the front door of starting that process. So, David, just like we've talked about vet-client relationships and everything else, mm-hmm. having that relationship with a good attorney and having that business structure in place will help them help you over time.
Oh, definitely, especially one you trust because, I mean, they're talking about a lot of your personal information and those kind of things and helping you hopefully plan for your succession plan for your farm or your business or whatever.
Well, and it's like, just like Jay said, you know, when things happen, you know, it's a tough time. Mm. It's a tough time. And when you can have all, when you know that you've worked with that attorney, it gives you some peace that, okay, yep. you know, it's going to be okay. And like he said, you know, it's then when the time comes, you don't have to worry about that. Yep. That's one thing you don't have to worry about.
I'm sure Laura Lee could share with us many horror stories.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. I don't even want to know the horror stories. So, but I mean, you know, I'm sure you can relate to a lot of folks that didn't do a very good job of estate planning and how terribly wrong things went.
Right, and then when you factor in grief and those emotions, it just compounds the problem of asset distribution. And you know, I think I might also be remiss if I don't say people sometimes have the mistaken idea that I'm married, so I know my husband will automatically get all of my property or something of that nature. And so don't be that guy. That is not the law in Kentucky. And so have a plan that you can feel good about. You can rest easy knowing that your family is taken care of, and most importantly, that you have been able to dictate the terms of.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Yep.
Very well said. Well, that's a good place to wrap up right there, I feel like. So, Laura Lee, we appreciate you being here with us today and everything that you've brought to us. We probably will think of other things to bring her back for. I think this was a good starter Absolutely. Conversation.
It's a good relationship.
Maybe we'll have some good. So she's on retainer now. Yeah, is that what you're saying?
I'm not paying. I'm not paying. I'm gonna let Vicky handle that.
There better be some good fried chicken around here.
She's gonna be a retread. What you're right. saying?
We have opened the door to talk about a lot of different subjects, and sure. I think we should try to do that in the Absolutely. Future. So,
well, I've enjoyed this so much. Thank you all for having me.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate you and your information for this week's show. We thank you and thank our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show and we'll make plans to join us next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.